y'all, what's going on? This is the Bills Wire Daily Podcast, and I am your host, Jeremy Uhas. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday edition, 4 days from the Bills season opener in Baltimore, Maryland. Right now, forecast is looking like a little cold front moving through. Sunday, potential rain and only a high of 70 to 75 degrees maybe. Obviously, weather can change, but not going to be right now looking like a very hot day. So we'll keep an eye on the weather. Could be a factor come right out of the gate here in week one. Yesterday, I went a little bit on a tangent talking about my displeasure with Sean McDermott's decision to start Nathan Peterman in this game and starting him at all with Josh Allen on the roster and no other veteran quarterback in the system. But I digress. We'll roll with this decision by the coach, and we'll see how it plays out for him, and we'll see what the Bills can do come Sunday on offense. I want to remind everybody that they can subscribe to this podcast by going to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts as well. You can listen on Spotify and subscribe there. You can also check us out on Stitcher if you prefer that platform as well. We're really kind of on a lot of different networks across the web, so make sure you can also leave us a review. That would be very helpful for us. We appreciate bringing this podcast to you guys every day. And today we have a really kind of a special guest, someone that I've wanted on really since I became host of this podcast and thought about, you know, who would be a great guest. And a lot of people in Bills Mafia know who I'm talking about with this name. I got Del Reed joining me here, and Del has really been, I call him kind of the godfather of Bills Mafia, but he and another co-founder really started that whole movement, and just we'll get to that in a moment, Del. But again, thanks for coming on with me and joining the Bills Wire Daily Podcast. It's just a pleasure to have you on. I wanted to get you on here before the start of the season, before fans get too invested in this year, to just kind of get your take on the team and also just talk about what you're doing at 26 Shirts and what you got going on in your life. So how's your summer been going, man?
Great. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you you thinking of me. Yeah, of course. It's been a great summer. Ready for some football, though.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the team in Baltimore this week, I just – just for fans who might not know exactly how you started kind of just this whole Bills family, this whole like Bills Mafia startup, just can you, you know, a little bit elaborate about how that just took off and just a little backstory and history for fans that are just becoming Bills fans or for those who don't really know the full story?
Yeah, for the sake of brevity, I'll give the Cliff Notes
Thank you.
Version, but it was basically an inside joke between myself and a few other Bills fans on Twitter back in early 2011. I always say that back then, I feel like I knew, because Twitter was so new, I feel like I knew every Bills fan that was on Twitter at that point. At least it felt that way. I mean, now Twitter's just an extension of, like, the real world, but it used to be, like, this own little thing that only certain people hung out on or discovered or whatever. But so anyways, yeah, it was an inside joke between myself and a few others after getting blocked by Adam Schefter, which we thought was egregious and unwarranted. but we've since been unblocked. I think we've all been since unblocked. I don't know. But, yeah, it was just an inside joke about how we were these bad guys when really we weren't even being, like, jerks to the guy. It was just, yeah. That's where the joke came from. Like, oh, yeah, we're bad. So then later on in the year, after the lockout ended, some players discovered the hashtag and started using it, and were familiar with who had started it. And actually, the reason that there is a The Bills Mafia Twitter account is because Stevie Johnson told us we should create a Twitter account. And so Bree, one of my co-founders, he created the account, and then Stevie told everybody about it, and it blew up into this thing that it is now with, you know, six digits followers and everything's crazy. But yeah, so anyways, it just kind of took off. And back then, I mean, I think a lot of people have tried to recreate what we've done, not only in Bills fandom, but in just lots of different sports team fandoms in general. But I think that we kind of just accidentally caught lightning in a bottle. I mean, Twitter was new. This was kind of a catchy name, and the players were on board. I think it all just kind of, like, the stars kind of aligned.
Yeah.
And so that's how it all began.
Sure. Well, what do you think, you know, a lot of these things, you know, might catch on with fans, but to see the players get involved and want to be a part of it, I think probably helped out, right? Just they're embracing
absolutely. It. Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, Stevie Johnson's the one that told, like, don't call yourself a Bills fan if you're not following at the Bills Mafia. And all of a sudden, one Sunday morning, my phone just starts blowing up with all these notifications. I've since learned how to better tweak those, but at the time, like, I probably killed my battery within, like, a half hour. Just the screen was constantly lit, and the vibrate option was going on and everything. So, but yeah, having the players on board really helps, obviously. I mean, you see a new player get drafted or sign as a free agent, and the first thing they do is tweet that hashtag.
Yep.
And so it's become a thing of its own. Like, we don't really own it, you know, that hashtag.
Sure.
And we don't try to control it. But, you know, I always say it's kind of grown up and left the house, but we're still kind of its parents, you know? So we like to check in from time to time and see what's going on with it.
Well,
we do our best to use what notoriety we have from that to do positive things with it.
Yeah, no, I was going to transition to that. But first, just a quick story. You know, I moved away from the city as an expat. But even living in the South, and if people see me wearing a Bills hat or a Bills t-shirt, the first thing they say is, oh, are you part of Bills Mafia? And, you know, it's not, are you a Bills fan? It's the hashtag. So it's just the brand itself has just, I mean, that's just how the fan base is branded. And it is really interesting how it's, you know, kind of progressed over time. And you've really used it for good. I always liked, you know, what you kind of stood for, just making the hashtag be more than just Bills tailgating. You know, you wanted to make this, you know, do good for the community. And you've always been really heavily involved in that, you know, a strong family man and just kind of wanting to embody the Bills fans and represent them in that way, which is, you know, commendable. And I don't think a lot of people outside the fan base know just how much of a family Bills fans are. But you taking that hashtag to use it for good and, you know, is really commendable. And I know that a lot of fans like it for that reason. Can you just talk about what you've done good recently? You can kind of spin this into 26 Shirts and everything you're doing with that organization too, and founding that organization. I think that's also taken off and done some really cool stuff and just a really cool concept that caught on with not only Buffalo but a couple other cities too.
Yeah. So we found ourselves early on with this social media audience. And so I've always been a bit of a t-shirt honk. Like, mm-hmm. It's always been my thing. It's just goofy t-shirts and everything. And so my first inclination was we should sell t-shirts. We should sell Bills Mafia t-shirts. And so we started doing that. And, you know, pretty quickly people said, well, is that all this is? It's just about, you know, selling t-shirts. And the last thing I ever wanted to do is come off like I was taking advantage of fellow fans or anything like that. And at the time, I was, you know, I worked at Roswell Park, gainfully employed, you know, doing just fine. And I said, we'll take the money and we'll give it to sick kids with cancer, you know. So I think mm-hmm. that actually helped it early on. I think that helped the whole Bills Mafia thing from just blowing over.
Yeah.
Obviously, the players on board helped, but the fact that the people that were kind of running it at that time or you know, proliferating it, however the word is, whatever that word is to use, knowing that their intentions were pure, you know, that our intentions were pure, I think really helped, you know. And so we ended up, you know, selling t-shirts, selling wristbands and watches and hats and all these different, anything you could market, right?
Right.
You know, I was doing it through my own personal PayPal account and all this stuff, and I felt like there's got to be a better way to do this that's, you know, kind of like above board, or, you know, I don't want anybody to look at it and be sideways. And I also don't want to be running all this through my personal taxes and everything as well.
Yeah, of course.
And so in early 2013, we kind of did a crowdfunding project, and we got enough money to hire a lawyer to turn it into come up with a nonprofit. And we started running everything through there. And then later that year, I had the idea to, instead of just, because all of Bill's Mafia stuff, like all the stuff we've done through that, I mean, the shirts and the wristbands, and it was always very small time. You know what I mean? We weren't doing a ton of it.
Sure.
Our biggest donations that we ever made were from our events that we did. Like, we would do an annual tailgate and stuff like that. And this is before Bill's Mafia tailgate kind of had its own turn, like it's grown into the past couple years. But and what we would do that, we get all the different players and local businesses and all these different entities to donate stuff for like a basket auction and everything. And it just kind of, you know, we were able to raise money for Carly's Club and everything. But later that year, I had the idea, like, there's probably, you know, just to not make too long of a story, but I had the idea to sell T-shirts to help people that weren't necessarily just saying Bill's Mafia on them over and over again, but different Bill's-inspired gear, you know? And by that time, the whole Bill's Mafia audience existed, so I kind of had this launching pad. So I had this idea. I always call it my Jerry Maguire moment, where I typed up a blog post and I said, you know, I got this idea to sell 26 shirts, you know, not individual shirts, but 26 designs over the course of a year. That's all it was going to be. It was a one-year project. And it just took off, you know, and now it's my full-time job. And we've raised over $520,000 that we've managed to raise and donate to families and charities.
Incredible. That's awesome.
And not only in Buffalo, but also in Chicago and Pittsburgh. And for a little while, for a year there, we had a Cincinnati branch as well, too. But Buffalo's been probably about 90% of, you know, what we've managed to accomplish. But, yeah, man, it's crazy. And I always tell people, like, it beats working for a living, even though that's kind of the joke, because I work harder at this now than I've done anything in my life.
No, man, I think definitely, like, just starting out, just hearing your story, I mean, so much blood, sweat, and tears had to just go into managing all of that, like going through your PayPal and, you know, getting that money to get a lawyer to kind of, you know, get that nonprofit status. I mean, there's a lot of work on the front end that you did in those years beforehand and that you're still doing today, man. That's just really awesome that, you know, over $500,000 donated from something that you were just – I guess first maybe blocked by Adam Schefter for, to kind of lead to that is pretty outstanding. So, and you're always just an optimist about the team, which is very, good to see. You know, there's times obviously in the last, you know, 10, 15 years without them making the playoffs where, you know, you always remained optimistic and always, were good with the players, that have supported you. And that's really evident, you know, online and even from afar. And I think Bills fans admire that. So kind of getting more to that side of it with the team this year, man. How are you looking at it with them drafting Josh Allen and Nathan Peterman getting the start and going into week one? I'm glad I caught you here before the start of the season. Just maybe your expectations for the team and kind of what you're looking to see from the squad in 2018.
Yeah, it's a good question. First of all, people always say I'm optimistic. I've always just said how I felt, and you know, there's been seasons where I've been like, I don't know about this team, you know, or you know, whatever. But I always try to, like, I also want to believe, because you know, at the end of the day, like, this isn't life and death, you know, this is entertainment. And so I look at it, I'm like, all right, so I enjoy doing this, I enjoy watching these games, I enjoy being a fan. All right, so what can I look at? Because, you know, it's easy to look at something and be cynical. Like, even like, oh, Nathan Peterman, you know, he's gonna start and he's going to do terrible because he threw 5 interceptions and a half last year or something like that. It's really easy to take that approach. But if this is something that you participate in because you enjoy it, right? So, like, okay, so what's a different way I can look at this? And, well, okay, so maybe Brian Daboll is fully aware of Peterman's skill set and has come up with a game plan that is going to accentuate his strengths and the strengths of those around him. I'm really nervous about that offensive line, but the strengths of those around him and the weaknesses in the Baltimore defense that might be there. So maybe, you know, that could be something that plays out on Sunday, you know. Now, having said that, in terms of like the larger scope of 2018, I thought this pretty much as soon as Tyrod was traded to Cleveland, I figured, okay, this is going to be basically, and I think Albert Breer, I think, used the term this past weekend the PC did about the Bills, but like year one 2.0. I think the Bills kind of performed better than even, you know, the brain trust in charge over there thought they were going to, which kind of resulted in, you know, trading for Kelvin Benjamin at the deadline and stuff like that. Like, all right, let's make a push, you know?
Sure.
And that might speak to Nick Dermott's talents, you know, in terms of a coach and what he can get out of a team. So a lot of people are, you know, all the power rankings, all the jokes are that they're 31 and the Browns are 32 and all these different power rankings. But people went, you know, that team went into the season last year and people thought they were tanking. And what happened? They ended up making the playoffs. And people say, like, oh, they backed in. No, they qualified for the playoffs based on their record and the records of all the other teams at the conference.
Yeah.
You know, so, okay, so Dalton threw that touchdown pass in week 17. He could have thrown that touchdown pass in week 4. Do you know what I mean? And it would have played out the same way. So, I'm kind of babbling here, rambling on, so I apologize for that. But
no, it all makes sense. No, for sure.
But, yeah, so my inclination is that this is kind of year one 2.0 in terms of, you know, I think they may take a step back before they take, hopefully, a lot of steps forward. But at the same time, I'm not writing off this coach's ability to get the absolute most out of his players. So who knows? I mean, the defense, you look at what the defense was last year, and you look at what it is this year, and aside from, like, you know, there's Vontae Davis, and obviously they brought in Harrison Phillips, and they got rid of Darius, obviously, before that season was over. But there's been a changeover on the defense, but it hasn't been very significant. And there's an argument to be made that it's better than it was last year, at least on paper. So if that's what carried the team last year, because anybody who watched that Rick Dennison offense, if the defense is what carried that team last year, maybe with a little bit of a better play calling, maybe with, you know, maybe better or you can't say similar quarterback play because Tyrod Taylor's definitely his own dude.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
A similar level of offense output. Who knows? Who knows what can happen? And that's only if they stay the same on offense, but they can get a little bit more out of it, you know? But my main concern is the offensive line. And I've been saying that since, you know, Wood and Incognito left, and then when they traded Glenn. All right, this is going to be a point of emphasis this year. So I think the whole season's going to, in a lot of ways, hinge on that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think they'll be able to run the ball, but maybe pass protection is something that, is a big question mark for this team. And I agree with you on the defense. I think there are a lot of guys that they brought in, and people seem to forget that Trent Murphy's on the team and Starr and, you know, these guys to help shore up that run defense. I think on paper they do look better there. And not every question mark has to be negative, right? So, you know, everyone just kind of, I feel, makes that, you know, quick comparison. Oh, because this is a question mark, then I'm gonna go to the side where I think the worst case scenario, instead of like you said, maybe they'll rise up to the occasion, or the coaching staff gets more other players. So, I agree with you on all those things, and thanks for kind of sharing the backstory of everything. We'll catch up with you maybe midway point of the season, Dell, and kind of. Talk more X's and O's a little bit, but I really wanted to get you on to get fans kind of fired up here for the home opener and just for the season opener as well. And are you going to be able, I'm sure you make it to a bunch of games, home games this year?
Yeah, that's the plan. I always make it out to a few since you know, I have two daughters, and as they've gotten older, I feel kind of bad like just leaving for the day. And so I'll try to bring them out to a couple games during the year, and I try to be selective with, you know, what games those are and everything, but I always make it out there. Cool. I always say that, like, oh, I'll get to one or two, and I end up with like four or five. So, you know, who knows what's gonna happen, but if you look hard enough, you'll probably see me walking around New Era Field at some point this season a couple times.
All right, and people can find you at Del Reed on Twitter, right?
Yep. Okay. Del Reed, D-E-L-R-E-I-D.
And where can they get all this gear?
Yeah, go to 26shirts.com. It's all there. We've got the regular changing stuff. We have the Mafia gear page there as well, where it's kind of like standard stuff that we're always offering. You know, that specific stuff gives back to Carly's Club at Roswell Park, or Courage of Carly, now it's called, pediatric cancer.
Very cool.
Excuse me, helping those situations. And then You know, we have the rotating beneficiaries on the 26shirts.com homepage. But we've got some cool stuff in the works for this coming season, with both Bills, Buffalo football and Buffalo hockey inspired stuff. So, but yeah, keep an eye on it. I'm really excited about some of the stuff we got coming down the pike.
Cool. Thanks, Del, for joining me, and we'll catch up again, like I said, midway point, maybe the season, and reconvene. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks, man.